C Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got, Corey Majors. And, of course, the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program, 877-881-1053. How are you guys doing? How is everybody out there in Radioland? 877-881-1053. Frankel, Injury Attorney, text line, or the Twitch, or the YouTube.
The 817, I think KNC should move their time slot to the night. These guys seem like good dudes, but this time needs some seriousness. Oh. Please don't leave them with us.
Man, we've been in the time slot for like 6 years, six and a half years.
We were the highest rated show in this time. I don't think a station would do that, but I appreciate it, though. Nice try.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I appreciate your
thoughts. So does that mean you're not doing well?
I'm doing great.
Okay.
Just, you know, a lot of people think that this thing like is just, you just go in and you talk to your best friend all day. How easy is your job? And then you got to deal with stuff like that, dude. Yeah,
comes with the territory, my friend.
You know what I'm saying?
It doesn't bother me as much, just because that's the nature of this job, right? People have the right to their opinion. It doesn't mean you have to agree with it.
Just because your opinion's wrong doesn't mean you should express it.
There are definitely times when I agree.
I will say this. There's too many more positives that come from all the people that like the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And the amount of people that like this show is insanely, it's an insanely popular show. Sometimes I have no clue why. I'm like, hold on. It's just us being us.
Right.
Like, it's literally us three have these conversations. We would have these conversations probably with a little more spice as far as the cuss words go. But we would have these conversations off air.
Sure.
I think we do this a lot of times where we just take this, whatever we're talking about, directly onto radio. That's one of my favorite things about it is that there are people out there that are just like us. And,
right.
And so thank you again to the Tolos for just absolutely crushing it. So here's what we need from you. We need for you to tell a friend today. Tell a friend about the KNC Masterpiece. And then also tell a friend to tell the Joneses to go get Max Crosby. We'll see which one happens first.
Okay.
You know?
I mean, he did post a meme of The Undertaker coming out of a flaming coffin saying that I'm back. So, I don't know.
You guys love Undertaker,
don't
you?
I do. I do. And it feels like, it kind of feels like he's locked in, but we'll see how that goes.
Alec, I think this is a huge compliment from one Peyton Philip Russell, who I think really loves you the most. He texted he texted me personally and said, I like your show.
Oh,
so
that's
cool?
Nice.
Isn't that cool? We have somebody in the building that likes the show.
That's true. I mean, I've been very clear. I don't care for this show.
You've said that since day one. Like,
true.
The first time
I kind of get that
show,
person's text.
The first day, it was a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
The day that the Mavericks eliminated the Lakers and Kobe Bryant and Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum stuck J.J. Barea with an elbow. And it was that morning.
Yeah.
That was the first show ever. And you came on, I came on air, I introduced us, and you looked at me and said, why did you do that stupid voice? And then said, I don't care for this show.
Alec, I wish you could find that, because it was like, welcome in to the KNC Masterpiece. This is Corinth Majors III.
I didn't say Corinth.
Oh, okay. But it, like, it felt fancy like that.
I didn't feel like I had an Alfred come serve me with shiny chrome dishes and stuff like that. Yeah.
I just stared at him. And then we went to break, and he's like, what? And I go, what was that voice?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, that's my radio voice.
Somebody said, what if I've already told all my friends about this show?
Make new friends.
Got to make some new friends now. This is part of growing as a, you know, as a human and growing as a show.
Mm. Grow the show. You better talk to Ben and Skin. Trademark violation.
Chris Arnold just texted.
I like him.
He said, I like your show.
Hell yeah.
So if you have CA's
he's
backing,
in every Hall of Fame that's ever been made.
If we have
that's
CA's backing, I think we're going to be okay. I appreciate it, guys. Thank y'all so much, Tolos, because right now y'all texting in, making my day. Y'all are the best.
In the meantime, if you can give me cut number two, let's talk about OSA.
They'll fourth and one at their own 15. Out of the I formation. And Smith is going to throw on fourth and one. Pressured again. Down he goes, Odighizuwa. At the five. And the Cowboys take over at the five with 2.5 minutes left.
Just got a text that said Ed Werder likes our show, too. I don't know if I think that is accurate.
What does that make you?
oh, man.
Man, can we play that drop again?
Nope.
All right.
I think
all right.
The boss won't let
all
us.
All right. So, for OSA.
Yeah.
You know, it's really interesting. We talked about this exact scenario yesterday monetarily.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I did not know this is what it was going to be. And there's a couple of different things. What I want to know just to start, really basic, really simplistic. Do you like this deal? Because the Cowboys are trading OSA to the 49ers for a third round pick. And it's a third round pick in this year's draft. I thought for sure I didn't think we would get a third round pick. And if we did get a third round pick, I thought it would probably be a 2027. And remember, just kind of draft value logic. If it's next year, drop the actual value around.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, if it would have been a third rounder next year, really would have been about the equivalent of a fourth rounder. That just seems to be how draft pick logic works in the NFL. But I have seen a lot of pushback on social media that people are upset and thought we were going to get more for OSA.
More. Really?
Yeah, which I don't see.
I didn't think you'd get a fourth yesterday.
Let alone a third.
Yeah, yesterday when we were discussing this, I was like, I'll be happy if I get a fifth. I really didn't want to trade him for a fifth.
Yeah.
But I'd be happy if that was the price because I didn't think you could get a fourth for him. Now, that being said, I see San Francisco is I see some of the changes they've made. I see what they want up front. And Kevin, when you ask me about my scouting report on Oso Digizua, it is always the same. That dude plays hard.
For sure.
And in San Francisco, with that electromagnetic field out there, they're always right. looking for dudes that mm-hmm. are playing hard.
Mm-hmm.
And because seriously, that is their style. Play hard. Now, Kevin, he might go have a successful time in San Francisco because of the style of play that they have. That might be something there. And the fact that across that defensive line, they just keep bringing dudes in. That's constant right there. But I just... What the Cowboys are trying to do right now is they're trying to get bigger and beefier at those positions. And honestly, there was kind of he's kind of left out and kind of out of position in this Cowboys
yes.
current defense. So it made a lot of sense to, you know, acknowledge it and move on. You said we're saving about $4 million.
Yeah. And so that's another thing.
To get a third, though, oh, I'm sorry. But, and we'll get to the number there. But to get a third is spectacular.
Yeah.
And if you wanted more than that, if you expected more than that, you probably were overvaluing your own guy.
See, and that's kind of what I think. But also, you have to remember, this is the time of year where draft picks are far and away the most valuable, right? Like, you've seen that.
But what's going to be more valuable in September and October?
Yeah, the player.
The player, for sure. But for your team. It depends on what the Cowboys do with that three.
Yeah.
Now, that could be the big difference, is Kevin, because if you pair that with something else, can you get a second round if you need to?
Yeah,
you
can.
If you're sitting there and you're like, we passed on Jacob Rodriguez, and we really want Jacob Rodriguez in the second round instead of 20, like Woolchuck and Brad Sham. Like, if you really want him in the second round, you actually have the capital to do that. Whereas before this whole thing started, Kevin, the Cowboys actually have some capital to work with to make some things happen up in the second round that they didn't have before.
Yeah.
And so this is actually turning into a pretty decent, you nail this fifth round, dude, you could be a championship team if you nail the fifth round.
Yeah, that is for sure.
Always a big if.
So it is really interesting to see how different people feel about this move. From the 903, people are crazy. You're lucky to get a third. From the 940, end of the third round, but it's not a good or a bad move. You moved Osa because he didn't fit, but I'm mad he went to a conference rival. So the end of the the end of the third round issue. So, I mean, the third round goes to pick 100. So I get that you're far closer to the end than the beginning of the round, but it's not pick 99 or 100. Like, you are several picks up from the bottom of the third round. The other thing is, you weren't going to pick until 112. I just accelerated. Well, not me. I didn't do anything. But the Cowboys just accelerated their ability to pick somebody by 20 picks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good with that. Now, for the money thing, I think Tom Pelissero kind of, like, threw some people's notions of what this was going to do for you monetarily off, because Tom Pelissero was like, oh, you clear $16 million in money off that. No, wrong. As we went over yesterday, the Dallas Cowboys will take a $16 million dead cap hit on this, which is brutal. Like, you never want to see that. What is going to happen, though, is OSA was set to count $20.75 million on your cap. All right? So that means a cap savings of $4.75 million. Just for brevity's sake, let's just say about $5 million, all right? Just to streamline the process. So you moved out a player who is, I think he is a solid player. Now, there are some numbers out there that people are using to try to make it seem like he's a spectacular player. I would argue if you watch the games, very rarely did it feel like OSA was a spectacular player. It always felt like he's a good player.
I love having him on my team is
sure,
what I always thought.
Sure.
And if I had a team full of guys that played like that.
And everybody seems to think, like, as great of a or as good of a football player he is, he's an even better player.
That was one of my favorite lines from Jesse Holly when he was like, Jason Garrett said, if I had a team full of guys that played like you, and you were like, I was like, but I'm here.
Yeah.
So, like,
we can't take
appreciate
one.
It.
It's one is. One's too many, and also not enough. It is confusing. So you move off of a good player, and for that, you get a third-round pick and about $5 million in salary cap relief. That's honestly what it boils down to. And then they made the move for Solomon Thomas, which I thought was more of a salary dump. You clear off about $2 million, take a little bit. I think it's like a $750,000 dead cap hit on that to move up in the seventh round, seven slots. I thought that was more of a salary dump. If you want to argue that you thought OSA was a salary dump, I would kind of listen to that because it does, you take the $16 million dead hit and then nothing. So going forward, you're not on the hook for any more money, which I think is a positive thing when it comes to this move. But then,
my question to you is that money already accounted for?
I don't think so.
You don't think that's part of the George Pickens cash?
No, just because, look, and this is what I was always worried about. I mean, and maybe that is the way they view it, but I don't think it's already accounted for because they didn't flip the switch on his contract, right? We talk about this all the time. Teams across the NFL all do this. The Cowboys do this. Is you have mechanisms about converting money over back into a signing bonus, and then you can cut the cap number and kick a little bit down the road. But the Cowboys hadn't done that yet. So theoretically, I don't necessarily think that money has to already be accounted for.
Because that's how my wife works. If any extra surplus money comes into our household, Kevin, she's already figured out what it's going to be spent on. Like that's like this Italy trip. You think that was an Italy trip that I had planned for in my life?
Right.
She did.
Right.
So she's like, oh, we got this amount? Nice. I can finally do this. So that's what I feel like. But I'm glad to hear that the Cowboys accountants don't think that way.
Yes, that is not the sense that I get
okay, good.
But then the question came up. I think it was Joseph Hoyt, who I really like his stuff. This fascinated me.
Thank you.
Is Joseph Hoyt pointed out that the Cowboys have seven players remaining from their 2019 to 2023 drafts, which would lead you to believe, especially for a team that feels like they say their entire identity is draft and develop, right? That feels really bad. So I decided to just take a little bit of a closer look at that. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think the starting point is a little, it's not my favorite starting point because particularly they picked a starting point that was always going to be bad because in 2019, that's when the Cowboys didn't pick until the end of the second round.
Okay.
They did not have a first round pick
that
year.
Tristan Hill?
That is the Tristan Hill year. So you can make those arguments that that is bad, but I feel like you got a ton of usage out of Tony Pollard and Donovan Wilson until they weren't going to be particularly useful for you anymore. 2020, you still have CeeDee Lamb on the list. And for a long time, felt like we hit with Trayvon Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And for a while, felt like you hit with Tyler Biadasz. But I realize they're not there anymore. 2021, because that seems to be the one that's frustrating people. you now have no more players left from the 2021 draft.
Bad draft.
Interesting. Maybe.
Question mark.
Yeah, okay, maybe. Or would you argue you could have foreseen it, maybe you could not have, that somebody was going to be implicated in a murder and then eventually turn state's evidence
Kelvin
and all
Joseph,
of that.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is you didn't lose Micah and Osa. You traded them for 2 1s and a 3.
Yeah, and Nashawn Wright didn't work out.
Wish he would have
here. You thought Bland and Diggs were going to be your cornerback duo of the future. Nashawn Wright didn't fit into the mix. He just couldn't get the playing time. You miss on a couple of fourth-rounders, and you miss on fifth, sixth, until Mukwamu.
Yeah.
But he didn't have a place here either. So that actually was a decent draft in a couple different areas there. Kevin, when I say that you built your team for a defensive coordinator in that time period, and now you've switched defensive coordinators a couple times, and
that
now you're
makes it complicated.
Now you're building for a completely new defensive scheme because this wasn't going to be what Zimmer's scheme was. The personnel didn't fit that. Now you're building for a completely new defensive coordinator who insists, if y'all want to be successful, we're going to have to shed some of these things because they don't fit what I need.
For sure.
And we're going to have to add this. So I'm okay with that because, Kevin, I don't know that the shelf life of these players on your team is 10 years anymore.
Yes. And that is an interesting point. At a time when we've talked about like the perils of drafting a quarterback number one overall, because you look at how that's gone like the last 15 years, there's been definitely some highs, but definitely some lows. And so I just hated the idea specifically of 2021 trying to be used as an example that the Cowboys don't draft well. Osa would still be here if you had the same defensive coordinator, but you didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then Micah would still be here if the Cowboys were better at negotiations, but they aren't. And so I do agree that they have some draft issues. I definitely agree with that. But then if you just keep moving forward, you look at 2022 and it's Tyler Smith, Sam Williams, Jake Ferguson, Deron Bland. I feel like you think you got a hell of a performance out of that. Now, 2023, that's looking like it could end up being pretty weak, especially if Overshown doesn't come through. So I do think that you have some drafting issues, but I would have to do a study on all NFL teams to determine like what their ratio is comparatively to that.
Okay, this draft, you have a chance to make it good.
And that's
but you're going to miss on some of them too.
And that's also the thing that's tough is once again, you go into a draft thinking we better hit
mm-hmm.
or else our defense is going to suck again.